I have a thought this morning. First of all, again, it's the Lord's service. I want to continue to remind all of us, myself included, that it's the Lord's service. And if you're a child of God this morning and He lays something on your heart, then that's not out of place. If you have a testimony or a word or song or anything that the Lord puts on your heart to do, then you follow the Lord this morning and He will be glorified and magnified if you do that. Does anyone have anything? Well, if not, then I do have a thought this morning. As I studied and meditated, I was hoping for something fatherly, something in that realm for a scripture, for a thought, for something. But the Lord does not always oblige us that way. He didn't give me something that was Father's Day. Because there's a lot of scriptures. I mean, we go a lot of different places with a father, God being our Heavenly Father, but He didn't give me anything like that this morning. So we're going to do some reading from some different places, and I hope that you will bear with me in some of our reading today. But I think it's important to get our thought, and it's always good to read the Word of the Lord. It's always good to read the Scripture. So we're going to start as kind of a background, I guess, in John. First chapter of John, starting in the first verse. I know many of you are familiar with that. First chapter of John, first verse. We're going to read the first 10 verses there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So he's talking about Jesus Christ being the true light that lighteth every man which cometh into the world. Now, with that thought, turn the page to the third chapter of John in the 19th verse. 19th to the 21st verse is Jesus speaking. He says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Jesus is the light, but men reject the light. Now, with that background in mind, I want to turn over to our scripture lesson, which is going to come from Luke. The gospel according to Luke in the 19th chapter. This is a parable that is probably familiar to most of you. And again, it's somewhat lengthy. We're going to read the 11th through the 27th verses, which is Luke's account of the parable of the talents. Starting the 11th verse of the 19th chapter. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Now I have to do some explaining, because many of you are familiar with this parable, and you might not see how that the parable ties in with our background lesson. Now, it's true, many have heard it preached probably about this parable, but there's a parallel passage in the 25th chapter of Matthew where Jesus gives out the talents. Here, Luke, and you know, the thing is, Jesus, we sometimes people get wrapped up of, you know, well, Luke gives a different setting and a different, a little bit different way that Jesus told this than Matthew did. Well, Jesus went around preaching and teaching everywhere for 3.5 years. Do you think he might have used the same example more than once to more than one set of people? Maybe. I mean, if it's a good illustration, Jesus probably used it in different ways at different times. So it's quite possible that in Matthew was recording one particular time that Jesus taught this, and another particular time that Jesus taught this in a different setting, maybe is Luke's. I'm not saying that's the case, but again, these things are recorded the way that the different people, they hit the different ones that have recorded it. And again, in 3.5 years, as Jesus went around preaching and teaching, he probably taught many of the same things over and over again. You all that have been in church very much know that you've heard different variations on the same thing, different ways, but over and over and over again. And so Jesus, I'm sure, taught that same way. And I'm sure he had some beautiful illustrations, and he probably used some of the same ones at different times. So at any rate, what you read in the 25th chapter of Matthew may be a different instance, and Jesus might have told it a little bit different way, different times. So when we find those little differences, don't get all wrapped up. It's quite possible that Jesus said it more than once and said it a little bit different in a different way. But you have probably heard this referred to, maybe taught about, the gifts that the Lord gives us, that we need to use those, use what the Lord has given us, and He'll prosper it, and He'll make it over many times. And that's all true. I don't want to take away from that a message that can be derived from this parable at all. But I want us to see something else that that struck me as I studied this and what the Lord showed me. And that is, I believe, just like it says over there in John, we read, that Jesus was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Do you realize that God has given a talent, and I don't mean talent as in like an ability, I mean talent as in something valuable. He has given something valuable to every man that has ever lived. Yes, He has. You know what that is? He has given to every man the divine spark that makes us lift up our eyes to heaven. Lift up our eyes to a Creator. Lift up our eyes to something that is out there. That is unique to man. That is what separates man from the lower animals. Science tells us about how smart the great apes are, and how you can teach an orangutan sign language and a gorilla sign language, and they're just real close to us. Well, that may be true in a lot of respects, but I'm telling you, there is a great gulf which divides the highest animal from the lowest man, and that gulf is only spanned by God, and it is that divine spark that man has. There is a gift that God has given to everyone. Jesus Christ is talking here about a king that goes off to prepare His kingdom. So God has given us things, and then He has gone off. He has set in motion things in this world, and He has given to every man a talent. Again, not the ability to dance or sing or something like that. I'm talking about a gift that He has given. And He said, do something with this. Just as the master here in the parable has given out his talents, or the pounds, as it says in Luke, to everyone, He said, I'm going to go away. You do something with it. Let's see what you have when you return. But everybody here, they all got the same thing. If you notice now, when He told it in Matthew, some got five, some got three, some got one. Again, maybe a little bit different thing that Jesus was trying to illustrate. Here they all got the same thing. They all got 1 pound. He gathered his servants. He gave them each. The one was really astute with his 1 pound, and he made 10 in return. Jesus said, that's good. You'll rule over 10 cities. The other one, he did well. Well, not quite as well as the other one, but he still did something. Jesus said, very good. Or the master said, very good. You will reign over 5 cities. But what happened to the other one? He took that talent. He took that gift. He took that light that God gives to all men. I just read it. I'll read it again. I want you to get this. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I can't stress that enough. Jesus, there is a light given to every man. Everyone is given this pound. Everyone's given this talent. But the one took it and hid it in a napkin. He didn't do anything with it. That's my thought this morning. Hiding the light. Hiding the light. Over in Matthew, the unfaithful servant took the talent and he buried it in the ground. He literally hid it in the ground. This one took it in a napkin or basically like a cloth, and he wrapped it up and hid it in a cloth. Nonetheless, he hid it. I want us to think about hiding the light that Jesus has given. I'm not just talking to save people, the light of the Holy Spirit that we have. I'm talking about all men have been given a light. Let me read to you again. I told you there was going to be a lot of reading, but I want to tie all these things together. I was reading this scripture, and the Lord just showed me, and I want to be able to tie this together for you. Now let's turn over here to Romans in the first chapter, and you Bible readers know what that says, but I want us, with this background, I want us to get this, what Paul is saying in Romans, starting in the first chapter in the 18th verse. He said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Paul is talking about the heathen. He's talking about every man. He's talking about all those that are outside of the Jewish religion. Every heathen out there in the world that you can think of, in the darkest of Africa or the deep reaches of the Amazon forest or wherever you want to think about, Paul is saying, listen, the hidden things of God, His eternal power and His Godhead, meaning the vast, power. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. His omnipotence, all-powerfulness, and His Godhead, meaning that He is the supreme and only arbiter of right and wrong, of righteousness and goodness, is manifested. It can be seen through the fact of all that He has created. When man looks out into the stars, you know, science tell they can see, I don't know how many billion light years, Hubble telescope. I don't know how much of all of that is true and how much of it is just flat out lies. There's a lot of lies that masquerade as science. But anyway, we can see way out there. And we can see further now with telescopes and things than men could see 1,000 years ago. But the heavens declare His handiwork, don't they? Man, and I've said this before, those of you that have been here on Wednesday night maybe have heard me say this. You know, every culture, every throughout this world, wherever you go, every culture has had some god or gods that they have worshipped. Everyone. Everyone. The most primitive ones, we never found one that was an atheist culture. Not one. We're the only ones. We're the only ones. Western man is the only ones that have elevated atheism to a form of religion. Every other culture, everywhere in every corner of the world, has some notion of a higher power that they worship. Now, their notion is very vastly perverted from the one true God. The way that they worship is sometimes wicked indeed. Those Canaanites in the Old Testament, they worshipped a god and they worshipped Him in a very wicked and perverse way. But the point still stands that man has been given the gift of a light, the gift of knowing that something created all of this. Something created the universe. Something created him. That there's something more powerful than him that he owes something to. All people everywhere that have ever been found, every culture throughout all of time has worshipped something and offered sacrifice unto something. Why? Because the light that was given unto them, they have been given a pound, a talent by God and said, do something with it. But how many have buried the light? That's what I want us to see this morning. Let's go on with what Paul says here. Because that, and here we're talking about burying the light. Paul's talking about this, hiding the light. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. He's showing they hid the light. He said when they had the light of God, they hid it. See, they didn't want to worship God the way that He needed to be worshipped. They didn't want to have the light of God penetrate all the way into their heart. And so they took that light, that gift from God, that knowledge that there is something out there that beats within the breast of every man. Listen, even the scientists, even the avowed atheists, they go to great today to deny that there's something out there. They've built a whole house of cards around an idea that is scientifically impossible. That is, that everything came from nothing. That's scientifically impossible, isn't it? I'm no scientist, but I've studied a little bit. I mean, I know the first and the second laws of thermodynamics, and I know that you can't get something from nothing. But yet, that's what science says. The same science that lays down those rules and says that matter can neither be created nor destroyed, it can only change form, says, yeah, but somehow it all got here from this Big Bang, because there's definitely no God. Nope, no God, not a God at all, only the Big Bang. They've gone to great lengths to delude themselves. Why? Because they've taken that light that God has put and hid. They've stuffed it way down. The light is still there. Something created it. But they don't want it to be God. I preached at length one time on atheism and some of the things that masquerade. And I had a quote. I can't remember who it was, but some big scientist in that community. And he wrote, and I pulled this quote out, and I won't quote it right because I didn't bring it with me. It just came into my head. So this is a paraphrase. But he basically said that evolution and atheism, he said, I don't want it to be like that. He said, I want the world to be created by evolution. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want it to be that way. That was essentially what it came down here. He didn't want things to be this way, and so he believed in the impossible, that everything came from nothing, and that there's no higher power, because he didn't want to believe that there was a God. He didn't want to believe that the universe worked this way. And that's really the essence of all atheism. That's what that's the furthest extent of hiding the light, is to the point of even denying it, even denying that it exists, even denying that the knowledge that there's something after this life exists. Do you realize that we live in the only age where it's taught as fact that this body dies and goes in the ground and then there's nothing? Every other culture through history, all the way back to as far as we know and is recorded, has known that there's something after death. Why? How have they known that? Because the spark, the light that God has given. Jesus Christ is the light that lighteth every man. But what did it say over in John that we read in the third chapter then of John that I read right after that? He said that, and this is the condemnation, that the light, Jesus, the very one that has given us the spark. Here we tie back to the parable. The Master has come. Jesus has come and walked among men, saying, give me an account. Now he did it in a very gentle way. Give me an account of the light that you have been given. Give me an account of the gift, the spark, the divine spark that you have been given. He said, but men love darkness more than light, didn't they? They love the darkness more than the light. He was there, the very light that shined within their breath. That light that was down deep inside of everyone. There he was standing before them. And what did they do? So many rejected it. They hid the light. They hid the light that was in themselves. And when they couldn't hide it in themselves anymore, because there was Jesus standing in full bloom before them without sin, doing miracles, declaring the kingdom of God has arrived. The poor and the brokenhearted were being lifted up, and the lame were being cured, and the blind were seeing, and all of those things. And they couldn't deny the light any longer. They couldn't hide it within themselves any longer. What did they do? They took the light and they tried to snuff it out on a cross, didn't they? They took the light and they tried to kill it because they loved darkness more. Why? Why do men hide the light? What I want you to see, if I haven't made the thrust of my point clear, and sometimes I get lost here, so I want to make sure that we get this clear. If you're here today and you're lost, you are hiding the light. There is a light that burns within you that knows that there is something out there. There is a light that yearns after God. And the beauty of the gospel is that God has given an answer. He has said, yes, here is the answer. The thing that burns within your breast, the desire to know thy Creator, the desire to give sacrifices unto thy Creator. Here it is. Here it is, the desire to be right, to be in relationship, to be in fellowship with your Creator. Here is the way through the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. Come to Him. Believe on Him. Let the light shine. Let the light of Jesus Christ shine from the outside, calling forth the light that is implanted in you, that you might, through repentance and the covering of the blood, be reconciled to the Creator. That's the message of the gospel. There's no sacrifice you need to make for your sin. It's been covered by the Lamb. It's been paid for by Jesus Christ, the only perfect Son of God. And you can have a relationship, that light that burns within you to get out. It's being called forth by Jesus Christ. That's the answer. But lost men everywhere are hiding it, aren't they? This world is hiding because they love the darkness. Why? Why do men hide the light? Lost soul, why are you hiding the light? Why do you refuse? You're still taking that pound, that light that God has given you, and you're wrapping it up in a napkin, and you're stuffing it in a corner. You're saying, I don't want it to get out. I don't want it to get out. Why? Well, John told us over there in the third chapter, because men love darkness. Sin is darkness, isn't it? That's what darkness is. Men love sin. They want to live the way they want to live. That's that atheist that I told you about. That's really what it come down to. All those that reject God, it's because they do not want to submit to the righteousness and holiness of God. They don't want to bow to God's way of doing things. They love sin too much. That's the curse of this flesh. Lost men love sin, and so they'd rather stay in the darkness with their sin than to have the light of the glorious gospel shine in upon them and magnify that sin and then repent of it. They love the darkness. That's why people hide the light, because they love the darkness of sin too much. But now, there's people out in this world that, you know, you might say, well, you know, not everybody, you know, just wallows in the worst kind of sin. There's people out there that, you know, they don't wallow, you know, they don't go out drinking and carousing and beating their wife and stealing and killing and all these things. You know, they live pretty good lives. So what about them? Are they, loving the darkness of sin? They live pretty good lives. Well, Jesus had an answer for that as well. We find that over in Luke, in our parable at the beginning. He said, occupy till I come. He called his 10 servants and he delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. We will not have this man to reign over us. Now, he was talking specifically about the Jews that were rejecting him. But this applies to... Let's look over in John, in the 19th chapter of John. This is where they truly fulfilled, the Jews, those that crucified Jesus, truly fulfilled what he said in this parable. In the 19th chapter, in the 15th verse, when he was standing before Pilate being judged, let's back up to the 13th verse. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, put away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. They answered exactly as Jesus said in that parable, didn't he? We will not have this man to rule over us. We would rather have the powers of the world to rule over us. We would rather be ruled by the things of this world. We would rather be ruled by the things of the flesh than by Jesus Christ. That is the rejection of the light that the Jews were guilty of. Now, they weren't great sinners the way that the Gentiles were great sinners. And there might be people today that are sitting in church pews all over this land that think that they're doing all right with God, but yet they're still hiding the light because they have never allowed Jesus Christ to reign over them. They have never really once submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what does that mean, submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ? Well, it is more than just reading this book and assenting to the truth of it. We talked in Sunday school a little bit about believing versus really believing. You know, language is imperfect, isn't it? We use words to try to convey thoughts and ideas. And sometimes our words come up short. Sometimes you ever thought, well, there's just not a word for that. There's just not a word to describe that. You know, and if you try to, I don't know how many might be bilingual in here. I'm not. But I understand from those that are that sometimes in one language, it's hard to translate to another language because there's just not a word in that language for the kind. You gotta talk around it. But there's this particular word that just doesn't translate straight over in the new language that you're trying to, it just doesn't have that. And so language is imperfect, is what I'm saying. It conveys ideas. So the idea of belief is used to describe salvation, to believe. In the Greek, it means to have faith. It's the same word. It's the verb form of the same word, faith. In Greek, the word's pistuo. I probably didn't pronounce that right, but same word. If it's a noun, we translate it as faith. If it's a verb, we translate it as believe. But same word. But my point is, we can't just say, well, I believe and therefore I'm saved, or this person believed and therefore they're saved. That's just a word that we use in our weak way to try to describe what's happening in the heart between a person and the Holy Spirit. So it's not enough to say that I have believed, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe that Christ died for my sins. I believe that His death is sufficient to cover my sins. Whatever you want to, how many ever of those statements you want to line up and say, I believe in them, well, that's one thing, but that's not all the way believing the way that the Bible talks about. That's not believing unto the saving of the soul. You say, well, how do I know if I've believed unto the saving of the soul? I say, well, God will let you know. God will let you know. That's the only way that you know whether you believe. But my point is that there is people all over the Christian world that are still hiding the light because they've never truly submitted to God. They have never truly let Christ Jesus be their Lord and Savior. They have assented to some things that are in the Bible. They might come in and listen to a church, to a sermon, or sing some songs, and they might live pretty decent lives as far as that goes. But if they have not made Jesus Christ their Lord, listen to what he says in the end of our parable in the 27th verse. But those of mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. I want you to understand what happens in the end to those that hide the light. Every man has been lit by the light. That's what we read in the first chapter of John. He lights every man. Every man has been given a pound, a talent, God, whatever you want to call it, this knowledge that there is something out there, this knowledge that there's a higher power, this knowledge that somebody, something created them, this knowledge that they owe allegiance to that Creator, whoever or whatever He is, all men have been given that life. And here comes the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to say, this is the truth. He is the light, Jesus. He's the one that created all things. He's the one that created you. He also came and He suffered and He died that you might be reconciled unto the Father. Believe on Him. This is the one that's hanging on the cross, the one that came out of the tomb on the third day. Submit your life to Him. Repent unto Him of your sins. Believe in the propitiation of His blood. Believe that He has made a way for you to be reconciled to the Father. Believe that He has sprinkled the path all the way into the holiest of holies with His very own blood. Believe that it is He who has rent the veil that separates you from God. That you know the light that's in you. Don't reject it any longer. That's what's happening to those that have hid the light. They won't take Jesus as He is. Those Jews didn't want, they wanted a Messiah, but they didn't want one like Jesus. There's a lot of people in this world that want some religion. They want some Christianity, but they don't want Jesus. They don't want to take God the way that He truly is. Jews today, many of you have heard me say, I believe that Jews in this day and age don't worship the same God you and I worship. Why is that? Because I worship Jesus Christ. And they expressly reject Him. See, they want a God, but they don't want God as He is. They want God to be the way that they want Him to be. And that's what so many want. They don't want God as He is, manifested in Jesus Christ, the suffering Savior. They want some different kind of God. And so they will not make Jesus, the Lamb of God, their Savior. They won't allow Him to reign over them. You say, what does that mean they won't? Because they won't get down and bow down and repent of their sins. They won't lay their entire life out before Him. They won't admit that they are a wretched sinner with no redeeming qualities, nothing to bring before God, no works to boast of, but a rebel before God who deserves eternal punishment. That's the way each and every one of us is. Listen, that's the way I was when I was 9 and 10 and 11 years old. I was a sinner. I was bound for hell. And it was my just desert because I was a rebel against God. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I heard the gospel. And God was merciful to me. And through 2 years of being obstinate and hiding the light and refusing to bow down, truly bow down, oh, I got on the altar and I prayed several times and I shed a lot of tears, as many of you probably did. But I never really humbled my heart until that night in 1986 when I gave it all over and made Jesus Christ my Lord. I said then, I allowed Him to reign over me. Amen. That's what it takes. Anything less is hiding the light. Anything less is taking that gift that you were given by your very birth and hiding it, rejecting it. And we've got a whole world full of people that are doing that. The light is there, shining forth, but they are hiding in darkness. They're hiding their own light in darkness, refusing to turn away from sin, refusing to make Jesus Christ their Lord, refusing to let Him reign in their lives. I don't want to get into rambling here, but there's a movement among certain sects of Christianity. I didn't even know that this was a debate until I started studying years ago, that the debate over lordship salvation. Y'all ever heard that? You know that there's a debate. There are some so-called Christians that claim that you can get saved, but you don't have to make Jesus Christ your Lord to get saved. Well, that's just not true. That's just not true. And I don't have very much confidence in anybody that believes that to be true, that you can get saved without making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. I want to tell you that when I got saved, I gave everything over to Him on that altar. Now, Now, sure enough, when I came up off that altar, like many of you, I started taking things back. You did too, didn't you? You gave it all over, but as soon as you came up off the altar, you started trying to take things back, take control of this. Well, I'll run this. God, I'll let you have this part, but I'm gonna still keep this one over here. We all do that, don't we? But the point is, when you got saved, you gave it all over. And any time that you get into your prayer closet, if you want to really get a hold of God, you've got to give it all back over again to really get in touch with God. That is letting the light shine. That is taking that talent and making something of it. And my point there is, not everybody is going to be some great theologian, some great evangelist. We're not all going to be the Apostle Paul. Not everybody's going to make 10 talent or 10 pounds out of the one, or 20 or 30 or 50. Some of us are only going to make 5. Some of us are only going to make 1. But Jesus will say, "Well, thou good and faithful servant." Lost person, you are the one who is in danger. You are the one who is hiding the light. It's still wrapped up in the napkin. You haven't done anything with it. And there's a day of judgment coming. That's what we're seeing here. But when you're going to stand before the Master, you're going to stand before the one who breathed life into you, the one who knew you even when you were in your mother's womb, and knew you. And He's going to say, "What did you do with that which I gave you? I didn't make you a dog or a cattle or even one of the great apes. I made you a man. I made you in my image. I gave you a spark of the divine. I gave you the light that is Jesus Christ. He lighted you from the very beginning. You knew that there was something. You knew that there was something out there. You knew that you owed allegiance to a creator somehow, somewhere, some way. What did you do with that knowledge? Did you seek after it? Somebody took you to church. You heard the truth proclaimed. What did you do with it? When the Holy Spirit, my Holy Spirit, was working on your heart, bearing witness that this was true, that this is what you need, that the truth of Jesus Christ was laid out before you, what did you do with it? You hid the light. You continue to hide the light. What do you have to say for yourself? What are you going to say? You're not going to be able to say anything more than what this man did. What did he say? He said, "I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, that takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow." How many people are going to say, I didn't want to be wrong. You know, God, I just didn't know. I mean, I didn't know there was this religion and there was that religion. And the Muslims said this thing and the Jews said this and Christians said this and these other Christians. I just didn't know. So I rode the fence my whole life. I just didn't do anything. What is God going to say? He's going to say, "I'll use your own words against you. You knew that I was a severe judge. You knew that I was the God of all creation. And yet you did nothing with what I gave. You didn't seek me. You didn't truly try to find me out. You didn't seek after me. Because if you had, I would have pointed you to my Son." God will point and does point any that seek after Him to His Son. He'll pull up an evangelist out of a revival and send him down in the middle of a desert to get the truth to somebody that's seeking, won't He? He did that with the Ethiopian eunuch. He'll cause a preacher of righteousness to be starving to death and have visions in the middle of the day to send him to a man in his household that want the truth. God will find a way to get the truth to those who seek after it. But listen, if you stand on that judgment day and all you have is, "Well, that spark that you gave me, God, here it is. I didn't do anything with it. I hid it in a napkin my whole life. Never sought after you. Never did anything." What's He going to say? And He said, "But those of mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." That day of judgment is coming, lost sinner. That day of judgment is coming when you're going to give an account for what you did with what God gave you. And that's what I want us to understand. And I guess that's the part of this parable that's maybe a little different from what you have heard before. But I read it over there in the first chapter of John. Jesus is the light that lighteth every man. God's given every man something. And Paul told us over what we read in Romans, what happens when they reject that light. You should know. You should be able to look out at the creation and by that know the hidden things of God. It speaks unto us that there is something out there that you need to seek after. But when men knew God, when you knew, a little child, as a teenager, wherever, you knew and you rejected it. You said, no, I'm gonna grab hold of the science thing. I'm gonna grab hold of this atheist thing. I'm gonna grab hold of this evolution thing. Or I'm gonna go chasing after this crazy religion over here or this other one over here. But I'm not gonna submit to the one true and living God because I don't want it to be that way. When you do that, you're hiding the light that God gave you, and there'll be a day of accounting. There'll be a day of accounting. And God will say, take all my enemies and bind them hand and foot and cast them into eternal fire. Because they hid the light. God has placed it within all of us to seek after Him. But men love the darkness more than the light. Don't continue, if you're lost here today, don't continue to hide your light. That gift that He has given you, that one talent, He wants to see what you're going to do with it. He gave you the spark. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to seek? Are you going to believe? Are you going to trust? Or are you going to reject? Are you going to wrap it up in a napkin and stick it in a drawer and not think about it? And then on judgment day, oh wait, I got to give an account? Oh, where did I put it? Oh, here it is. Here it is. I still have it. But I didn't do anything with it. Cast him into eternal darkness. That's what the Lord is going to say because he hid the light. That's my message. I suppose I could ramble some more, but I think that we've gotten our point across. I pray that there's a whole world of lost and dying sinners that are dying out there, but that's not God's fault. We're not going to lay that at God's feet. There's a light that lighteth every man. But they reject God because they reject the light. Because when they knew God, they honored Him not as God. But they puffed themselves up in their own pride and their own vanity, and God just gave them over to their sin. And that light got darker and darker and darker and darker. Is it going to do that to you, lost sinner? Here today, perhaps God is calling you and there's a light that burns. But I want to tell you, every day that you reject it, every day that you hide it, it'll get easier and easier to hide it the next day and the next day. And pretty soon you'll forget all about it and you'll go through your life. And then your life's going to end quick. Quick just like that. 40 years is gone. Quick like that and another 40 years is gone. And then you're standing in the judgment and being asked, what did you do with that thing I gave you all the way back there? Oh, I hid it. I remember when I was a child. I remember when I was a young person. I remember when I had the tug on my heart. I thought, I ought to do something with this. I ought to seek after God. I ought to see if that's true. But I just never did. I just hid it, wrapped it up in a napkin, and stuck it in a drawer. And now I've got nothing to show in eternity to be separated from God in hellfire. That's the result of hiding the light. Brother Colin, if we can get a song.